By way of introduction, my name is Stefan Nitschke. I serve as one of the pastors here at Faith Church. I've got a wife. We've got five little kiddos, four boys, and then we finally had a little girl. We call her Sweet and Salty because she's just a little bit of both. She's very sweet and she's quite salty. And so far, barring our adopted children, each one of our children look exactly like their mother, except for one who looks exactly like my sister. So I keep pushing for more biological children to see if we can get one that looks like me, but that might be a selfish endeavor. We'll see. As is quite obvious, we're going to be discussing premarital counseling and I would argue the necessity for it. I serve as our college pastor. So as you might imagine, I feel a lot of the marriage preparation work. Actually, it's even assigned here at Faith Church for the college pastor to handle all the sort of wedding, anything. So in terms of putting the venue together, in terms of fielding the wedding requests, so forth, they go through me at one respect. So I think the first question that comes up regarding premarital counseling is, should this be something that ought to be required of a couple who is pursuing marriage? Should it be required? From a biblical mandate perspective, the answer is quite obviously no. There's no commandment in scripture that requires 8 weeks of counseling with their overseeing or officiating pastor. That's not in anywhere in scripture. But looking at the matter from a wisdom perspective, which way would you guess does the word of God lean and push us towards? And while the sheer number of passages that compel us towards seeking wisdom would essentially take up the rest of our time, I want to direct your attention to one in particular. That would be Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So apart from seeking wise counsel, we default to whatever we believe is right. Look no further than the illustration of our own lives when we don't follow what Christ would have for us. But how does this passage describe that way when we don't seek the way of counsel? It says the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. It is the way of the fool when we go our own way and when we do not seek that wise counsel. I often tell people the two most important questions that they would have to answer in their life are as follows. Number one, who shall be my God? And number two, who shall be my spouse? And we'll expound a bit more on that in a while. But number one, who shall be my God? Is Yahweh, is Jesus your God? And number two, who shall be my spouse? Is this person the one that I ought to marry and make that commitment to life? Has God called me to singleness throughout my entire life? Is the answer nobody to that? Obviously, the most significant question is the first. A wrong answer here has eternal ramifications, but that's not to say that the second question is utterly insignificant. The Word of God has a lot to say about marriage. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, right after establishing Yahweh to be Adam's God, the next order of business was what? We have to find this guy a suitor. We got to find someone to put with him. It's not good for man to be alone. Who shall be my God? Who shall be my spouse? And just like Adam looked up and down the line of animals that God had created in search for the right suitor, we don't want the Adam or the Eve, who may be in our particular fellowship or congregation, to marry any animal they may happen to find. We want them to help find the right and correct suitor. So let's assume you require some form of premarital counseling or PMC as well. It's just a mouthful to say premarital counseling time and time again. So PMC, if I say that, that means premarital counseling. Let's assume that you require some form of PMC for engaged couples affiliated with your church. When I teach this particular lesson at the MDiv level, I find it helpful to walk through an illustration. So let's say a couple comes up to you and so forth. And so we walk through it as if it were an actual scenario playing out beforehand because we live in a world played out in the narrative. We don't live in bullet point after bullet point. So that's what I'm going to seek to do with us this morning as well, is walk through the premarital counseling process by way of narrative. So let's paint the picture. A young couple comes up to you and says, "We just got engaged. Will you do our wedding?" Assuming that this engagement was good news to you, what is your first response? That's not always the case, is it? That's not always the case. What should your first response be as they come up and say, "We just got engaged and this is good news"? Congratulations, right? Congratulations to you. After that point in time, if you are one who would be able to officiate a wedding, what should you agree to? After they say, "Will you officiate our wedding?" What should you agree to? I argue you should only agree to a first meeting. Why would I argue you ought not promise to officiate their wedding? Because how they answer the two most important questions weighs into whether or not they ought to get married. I want to ensure to the degree that I am humanly able that their God is Christ and that the person they're engaged to is their proper suitor. So once we've established a time to meet, the first thing I want to do in our initial meeting is explain the purpose. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going with all of this? It's necessary to explain why you're choosing to meet with the couple rather than simply show up on the day of their wedding. If they ask me to officiate, I let them know, hey, I check my calendar for the date that you have tentatively set for your wedding day. I'm available that particular day, and it would be my joy and delight to go before God and these witnesses in order to join the two of you in marriage. But the reason it's not an outright yes is multifaceted. Number one, I want to ensure they can get married. The important word there is can. Though few, there are some parameters that Scripture sets out that would prohibit a couple from marriage. The main one would be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And my argument is, if this passage has to do with any partnership, would it not be the most significant and intimate of partnerships? And that would be marriage itself. So if this passage does not apply to marriage, then I would argue it applies to nothing. And so I would say Christ is compelling us. Do not let the unbeliever be yoked with the believer. You cannot get married if you're dealing with a believer and an unbeliever. There are also matters of divorce and remarriage that could factor into this category, whether they can get married. So see what are your predispositions towards divorce and remarriage? What does Scripture have to say about it? What does your church believe about these passages? Number two, I want to ensure that they ought to get married. Again, to the degree I'm humanly able to do so. While the first issue mainly dealt with the primary question, who shall be my God? And that deals with commandment. This second portion is more in line with the second question, who shall be my spouse? But it's more along the lines of wisdom matters that we get into for this particular topic. Because unlike the first question, a God-honoring response to the second question, as mentioned beforehand, could be nobody. The Lord has not called me to marriage, whether by circumstance and his sovereign rule of not allowing me to be married to anybody, or he's called me to be like a Paul in that respect. Outside of the commandments that would prohibit a couple from marriage, there are also certain matters of wisdom that may prevent a couple from being married. So wisdom matters could involve anything like you have somebody before you who is unteachable, who is unsubmissive to Christ. They may have a profession of faith in Jesus. They may say, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus is God. I want to follow him all my days. But when you put the Scriptures in front of them and you say, I see these incongruencies, they just will not submit to Jesus. They will not change in any sort of meaningful way. That may be reason for you to say, I cannot move forward and bless this union with good conscience. It may also be you have inadequate time to handle severe sin. Would it shock you to find out that premarital counseling, PMC, can often be the time where pretty deep and severe sin is brought to light? You might see all of this and be like, we got to get some time and some faithfulness behind this. And May 3rd is coming up really fast. And that's not enough time in my mind for us to deal with these things. So let's go ahead. If you want me involved in this process, let's pause this time, this May 3rd. May 3rd is not God. Jesus is God. So let's go ahead and see some faithfulness in this area. Let's focus on getting this into the light. Let's focus on honoring and obeying Christ in this area. So, and if they're unwilling to do that, then you may have to recluse yourself from that situation. Other wisdom issues could be incredible immaturity. You could have two people who are just simply not ready to be married for one reason or another. They are fully dependent on somebody else, and the idea of putting them in leadership or submission to somebody who is not their parent would just be an awful thing for this particular season. They would ruin one another. And wisdom would say, let's pause, let's wait on this. It could be marriage for the wrong reasons. You could have somebody who's like, she makes a lot of money, or he's really hot, or something like that, and that's why I want to get married. That you might have to work through those things and show the real reasons. Once they see what marriage is, it could reveal that these are just surface level things. But if they're fixated on, I gotta get paid, you know, and marriage is gonna get me there, that's not a good reason. And I would say I don't want much to do with this particular situation. There could